It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 72. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. We're talking Golden Gopher baseball this week. It's a great conversation with pitcher Randon Dauman. He's overcome some recent serious health issues, including losing his sight for a short period of time. He has now returned to the diamond. He also has a nonprofit that helps kids in need get sports equipment and gear, and you can help him with that. And we'll talk about the future of Gopher baseball and how he sees it. Quick spoiler, he's excited about watching the current young players progress, and he thinks the future's bright. Randon Dauman will be my guest on the Go Gopher Podcast. Our Go Gopher Podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. You can get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Hey, make the most of your life's work. Visit SunbeltMinnesota.com or TNMA.com today. We're also brought to you by Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union here on the Go Gopher Podcast. Affinity Plus is your local credit union throughout the entire state of Minnesota. Find out more at AffinityPlus.org/Gophers. Our podcast also sponsored by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland at ChaplinInsurance.com. We're podcasting episode 72 from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We invite you to subscribe to the Go Gopher Podcast. You can click that button right now. It's free to subscribe and free to listen at any time. You can go back and listen to past podcasts as well. Last week, for example, we spoke about the importance of mental health awareness with the director of Gopher Sports Psychology, Dr. Carly Anderson, a podcast well worth your time. So much valuable information for so many reasons. This week, though, it's episode 72, and we're talking Golden Gopher baseball with pitcher Randon Dauman. He joins me next.
I'm Clay Geary, walk-on, turn scholarship, wide receiver for Gopher football.
And I'm Ben Utek, U of M alumni, Super Bowl champion, and Tony Dungy Uncommon Award winner.
We understand championship culture, which is why we're part of the True North family of companies.
True North invests in only elite teams, like the champion team at Sunbelt Business Advisors, Minnesota's largest seller of companies. To learn more about True North and our diverse family of independently owned companies, visit TrueNorthEquityPartners.com.
Hi, Gopher fans. Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on lights. We switch TV channels. We switch on the TV. And with the new transfer portal, some college students even switch colleges, which can seem crazy to us diehard fans. But what's not crazy is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, my agency can switch you over so we can start saving today. My team is ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood and show you it is, in fact, easy to switch and save. When you want the real deal, check us out at ChamplinInsurance.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's episode number 72, the Go Gopher Podcast. Mike Grimm with you, along with Gopher baseball player Randon Dauman. And Randon, good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
I guess it's been a little over a year since you and I have last talked. You were on our Community Champions Series through Gopher Sports Properties and Gopher Digital. And at that time, we talked a lot about your charity that you had set up and still work with, which we'll talk about here, Next of Can. But we have so much to talk about because you have been through a lot since we last talked last year, right? I mean, it's been incredible.
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride.
So let's set the stage, first of all, with your background before we get into some of the ins and outs of everything. You're a kid from Wisconsin. You went to play baseball at St. Louis. You had a stop, I think, at a junior college in between, right?
Well, I actually
went to... Or was it JUCO first?
I went to Ohio.
Oh, yeah, Ohio,
JUCO.
Right.
Well, actually, Ohio, Community College, and then another JUCO, and then St. Louis.
And then Minnesota. Yeah. Take me through that whole process from high school and what you know, how that track eventually led you here.
Yeah, so out of high school, I committed to Ohio as a freshman, which was pretty young. I got to Ohio, and I had some things that had to take me home. And I went home and was working as an electrician and doing night school at a local community college. And then after doing that for about a year and everything was cleared up, I went from that community college to another JUCO called Triton College in Chicago area. And I played baseball there and I loved it. It was a great time. Unfortunately, it ended very early due to COVID. And so then I was in this weird stage because my goal was to only be there a year. And so I had taken, I think it was like 50 some credits, 20 a semester, and then the J term. So I graduated in 1 year. And so like it put me in a situation because I had these offers and I couldn't really go back to JUCO even though the season just ended. And so then I was kind of rushed into a decision that led me to St. Louis, where I had friends. And St. Louis, it just didn't work out. I loved my friends that I made there. I loved my teammates. But fortunately, that came to an end. And then I found my forever home here, and it's been perfect since. I love it.
What was that process like in terms of what got you connected with Minnesota?
So it's funny because in JUCO, I was originally being recruited by Minnesota, and that was my dream school. And I was like holding out for them for as long as possible, but due to like rosters and we didn't know what was all going on with the pandemic. And it just came down to a point where if I didn't make a decision, I wouldn't have had a college to go to. And so I couldn't wait any longer and I had to choose to go somewhere else.
Yeah. You're from Columbus, Wisconsin. I am fairly familiar with the state of Wisconsin, but not familiar enough to know exactly where Columbus is. So where is Columbus?
Yeah, so Columbus is a small town. It's between Beaver Dam and some prairie. And I guess the closest city that's major is Madison.
Yeah.
So it's like a 30-minute drive from Madison.
Gotcha. And, of course, the Badgers don't even have a baseball program, so that was never an option.
Yeah.
How can't you have a baseball program, by the way?
That's one bizarre. Of the biggest things in Wisconsin right now. Yeah.
It's good. It's pretty interesting, that's for sure. All right, so you got here from St. Louis to Minnesota, and take me through the baseball part of it at least, because COVID really screwed up stuff for a lot of people your age, right, in terms of even whether it's, okay, I got to watch lectures online, go to school online, you know, lock myself in a room, whatever it may have been over the course of that time. And then for athletes, it was daily testing and all this stuff. So when you got here, kind of take me through how the baseball part has gone.
Yeah, so when I got to Minnesota, it was still on the back end of COVID. And we were getting tested weekly. And it was just an interesting time because when you're making those transitions, especially as a new student athlete, it might be different to get around and like know people. But the Minnesota community was always super helpful. I have nothing but praise for everyone around this area. And so like getting into baseball, I mean, it was pretty like the new normal at that point. Like we didn't have to wear, actually, did we have to wear masks at that time? I'm not sure.
I think so still. Yeah.
We might have. Yeah. So I don't know. It just kind of all blends together.
It does,
normal
right?
now.
Yeah.
Like the transition at that point, we're already in 2 years of it. So it was kind of the new normal at that point.
We had you on our a separate show from this podcast, but it was a community champion series. As we mentioned, it was like a year ago at this time, and that was to feature student athletes here that were doing cool things in the community, within the school, within their team, and what have you. And of course, for you, it was the organization that you started was called Next of Can. And we talked about it obviously in that segment, but I think this gives us a good forum to dive a little deeper into it, where it has become a pretty nice driving force here with kids that have some needs in regard to athletic equipment. And you explained that with us last year in the segment, but nobody, you know, not everybody listens to everything. So let's talk a little bit about it. How did it start? And you brought that with you, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah. So that started in 2020 when I was at St. Louis, and my board members were all teammates of mine at St. Louis, and they're still the board members. And it was just during a time where there was a lot of, like, I feel like people wanted to make change but didn't necessarily know the steps. So everyone was kind of just posting about it, this and that. I essentially got to a point where I'm like, hey, I'm going to dive headfirst into this. And I asked my buddies if they wanted to join, and they're all for it just because of our baseball connections. And so, as we previously stated, we fundraise for underprivileged athletes and artists. And so, from 2020 till now, it's just been growing and growing. This past year, we sent like 252 uniforms to Benin, Africa. We sent over 1,000 soccer uniforms to Haiti. And then in the community area, like just Minneapolis itself, I think we're around $92,000 in donations.
$92,000 worth of stuff, right?
Yeah, equipment. Yeah.
What in terms of the call to action that you felt you had, what triggered it? Was it a newspaper article? Was it something you saw personally, or just?
I don't know. It just was like a compounding thing. You sit there and you're really impacted by social media, and I mean, you open up Twitter, you open up Instagram, and half the things you see are negative during that time, and it's just like, well, there's got to be good, right? Like, I know great people, so I mean, I don't know. It was just more like, I've always wanted to make something happen, and from the stuff that I've seen in Cook County, Chicago area, to seeing in St. Louis, to seeing, you know, it was time for me to help in some way.
Yeah. And so kids who, what, may not have, a baseball glove, a baseball bat, maybe cleats, and not just baseball, right? You guys have helped all kinds of sports and young kids who might need it. Take me through the process of how you go about determining where, one, how you accumulate either donations, money, or maybe equipment or what have you, and two, then how does it get into the hands of those that can use it?
It's really unique. It's all stemmed from my baseball connections and then the people I've met in the community. In terms of like donations, again, it's connections of people that I know, and I'm like, hey, do you have any overstock of this equipment that you're no longer sponsored with? Do you mind if we take it? Because it's usually still has the tag on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get donations. So like we've gotten donations from the Twins. They donated a ton of football cleats, actually. And so I was reaching around to local organizations, and it's really just cold calling. And a guy named Jim Helber with the Phelps Falcons organization reached out to him, and we've donated to his nonprofit quite a bit, and he does some great stuff. But a lot of his football players, they haven't had their own pairs of cleats or their hand-me-downs from their previous athletes for over 4 years. And, I mean, when you use someone else's shoes, that's – like it, being an athlete, like even having your own shoes, if they wear down even a year, you know, it's just not comfortable. And so, like, I don't know, there's always room for like equipment to be used somewhere. And the life cycle and a lot of the stuff that we've been getting is brand new. But again, like kids that still haven't had their own bats or haven't had their own gloves or haven't had their own cleats, it's nice to be able to get that.
Yeah. And then if people want to help, what's the best way? Like if someone listening now to the podcast says, well, that is awesome, I want to help, what can they do?
Yeah, they can just reach out to us at nextofcan@gmail.com, or they can reach through our website. My personal cell phone's listed on the website. We do all volunteering, and so we don't have any employees that are on salary. No one from the board takes any money, and so everything is completely volunteer.
Wow.
And so that's what helps us. Whatever comes in, we can put right back into the community without touching anything.
Nextofcan.com, is that the webpage?
.org.
.org.
Yeah.
Nextofcan.org.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. So people can go there. You mentioned like the soccer uniforms that were sent over.
Yeah.
How did you accumulate? How many?
Oh, 1,079 would be the jersey tops. And then like total soccer items was like 3,528. But that was donated from a Woodbury soccer club called Salvo.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, just another connection. And they said they just have a whole lot of overstock. And we're like, all right, yeah, we'll show up. And it's a cool story because it was raining and sleeting. And due to like athlete schedule, I couldn't be there until like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And I got there, and there's 13 pallets full, and I'm like, I only have a pickup truck. And so I called my buddies, and lo and behold, I have 6 or 7 teammates driving out there. We loaded up in all of our vehicles in the snow and rain, and they're just doing it out of goodwill on a school night. And then we drive it back, and I'm like, all right, well, where are we going to load this? And so now I call the rest of my buddies, and now I got 20 teammates down in the Marshall, unloading our trucks, loading it up into my apartment, and the boxes are hitting the ceiling. And, like,
wow.
It's amazing what a community does for other members. It's just a matter of coordinating.
Yeah. And yeah. It also says something about you, too, that that teammates are willing to – I mean, I think it means your teammates are good-hearted, but it also means that – oh, yeah, let's do this. We know about this. We, you know, you're a good dude. We're going to help you out, I think, right?
Yeah, no, they're a special group of guys. Like, they'll always have my respect, and I always make sure to let them know that.
So how did you find out that this group, you said where, to Haiti and where else?
Been in Africa.
How did you find out about the needs there?
So it's funny. Like, I reached out to some local middle schools, and I was like, hey, I got some gym equipment that I'm looking to buy, and I want to know if you guys could use it. I'm just looking to distribute some stuff, add some inventory. And so I made a donation. I think it was to Olson Middle School at the time. And the secretary, we just got talking, and she was just like, hey, have you heard of Baseball in Benin, a nonprofit that comes here, and they also have stuff going on in Benin, Africa? And I was like, no, never heard of it. She gave me the contact of the owner. I called him like, hey, what do you need? And he's just like, this, this, and this. And I was like, well, I got 250 uniforms. Do you want that? And he's like, yeah, they don't even have uniforms. It's like, perfect. So
wow.
It's weird. It's just a revolving door of connections.
So, and then locally here, you mentioned you're talking to middle schools and different things, $92,000 over the last couple of years. What are some things you've done locally too then? You've talked about a couple, but how do you go about making the connections there and finding out who, where your stuff can best be used?
Yeah, it's a lot of cold calling, and I'll call like a lot of schools and see where they stand on it. And a lot of the time, since we're such a young company, and on the other side of the phone, and it's a 23-year-old, I don't know if it's always taken fully serious.
Yeah.
And so those who take it and like they say, hey, no, we could use this, we follow through on it. And that's what we try to do is like, if you need it, we'll follow through on it. We're not going to shop around. And so I leave it up to their judgment. And if they think it belongs with them or if they think it should help someone else, we'll do that.
With your connections now, do you have people on both ends that will call and say, hey, we've got some extra stuff if you want it? Or two, hey, you said that if we needed some help, we do now. We have some kids who need this or that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So I've developed on both sides where they're like, hey, we got overstock of this. I think you could distribute this and it'd be great. And so we'll get it and we'll distribute it. And then on the other end, like, again, the Phelps Falcons organization, we've gone back multiple times. We've given them brand new football cleats, custom basketball backpacks, mouth guards, footballs, just mainly safety equipment so that their athletes can perform.
All right, so here's a little bit of a weird question, and I actually fall in this category a little bit. If you have kids who had gear, whether it was baseball bats or gloves or maybe football cleats or a football or, you know, I don't know, whatever, and I have a closet with stuff in it that it's used. Some of it's in decent shape, though. It's not like junk. Is that something that you would take, or are you trying to stay mostly with new stuff?
We mainly have stayed with new stuff, but we also have taken used stuff because we can make it work just about anyway. It's more of a judgment call where I've gotten calls and I've just shown up and be like, oh, yeah, we can use this, this, and this.
Because certainly some there might be some secondhand stuff. It's just not thank you, but, you know, maybe that's a donation to some other place, right?
Yeah. And I know, like, I believe Played Again Sports and stuff like that, they take those.
Yeah.
So it's all just a judgment call. And, like, if I know of someone that's looking for something, then it makes it a whole lot easier.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. No doubt. So what's the future now with Next of Can as you're here at Minnesota? And where do you see this going?
Honestly, I've got big dreams for it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be moments anymore. I've talked to some people, and I want to move from moments to a movement, you know, instead of just being in there where this equipment can be like a Band-Aid in situations. I want to invest more time into the community, and I want to show these kids that are receiving it. It's like maybe be mentoring, whatever, after school programs. I want it to turn into something where they have a reliable source where it's not just, oh, we're coming in, helping you out now, and see where it goes. I want to be there consistently, and I want to see how we can help them and be, I don't know how to put it, just a mentor, just someone they can turn to.
Do you think this could turn into, once you're done with your Gopher career, that this is what you choose to do, like turn this into your full-time occupation?
I don't see myself ever walking away from Next of Can. It does more for me than it does for the individuals, and I love it. And it's just such a unique balance to do, because when you're giving equipment, I mean, that's a good feeling, but like seeing them use it and utilize it and have fun, like that just goes so many miles.
nextofcan.org is the webpage if our listeners of the podcast would like to help in any way, shape, or form, or maybe they know of youth organizations that might have needs, or maybe they know of businesses who might have extra surplus stuff. Nextofcan.org is the webpage. We want to talk about Randon and the adversity, I guess, for lack of a better term, that he had faced here in the last year as well. But I do want to talk first about our partner here on our podcast. The Go Gopher podcast is presented by Affinity Plus. It's your local credit union, proudly serving Minnesota since 1930. If you're a current Gopher student or a proud Gopher alum, it makes you eligible to join this financial that wants to build a meaningful banking relationship and put you first. You can meet with a local employee at any of their branches statewide, including right off campus in Minneapolis. You can learn more and find other ways to connect by going to their webpage. It's affinityplus.org/gogophers. affinityplus.org/gogophers. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Randon Dahman, our guest, episode 72. You just won a Goldie a couple of weeks ago for what you have been through, not just the charitable part of your life in terms of what you have done and the impact you've already had on the community now and in the past, and certainly it sounds like in the future, which is amazing, but also personally for you. You have, out of the blue, experienced some really challenging health issues that aren't just like what a normal baseball player might find. You're a pitcher. You might have elbow soreness and miss 10 starts or whatever. Fine, that stinks, but some of what you have been challenged with is way more than that. So I'm going to ask you kind of to take us to the beginning and walk us through what you faced and some pretty scary moments here.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, looking back, that it's already been a year. It all started at a home game against North Dakota State, and I had just thrown, and the game was over, and I was walking back to the locker room and bent over to pick up some trash and throw it away. I came up, and I thought it was just initial head rush, and I got, like, tunnel vision, and I couldn't see, and my chest was hurting really bad, and I was having chest pains prior, like, 2 weeks, but didn't really think much of it, and kind of lost my vision throughout the night, and, well, we went to the hospital that night, and I was essentially blind on the left side of my vision for throughout
the
night.
Your field of vision
was gone.
It was just gone.
Wow. And so we didn't really know what was going on, and then it all cleared up the next day, and I was just having consistent chest pain, and this was on and off until summer, where I passed out a few times and then found myself in the hospital again.
So you're just thinking you're pushing through it.
Yeah, like, yeah. I didn't think much of it because I've always been healthy, and like every athlete, you just have your minor bumps and bruises.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really think much of it. And then we got like a – I think it's an echo done on your heart, and we found out that any time that I was turning into, like, bear down movements, blood was rushing into the wrong side of the heart, and so I had a hole. And so that was just a new discovery. And my summer baseball was cut short because of it, because we didn't quite know how to handle it at that moment. So it was a unique time.
Wow. So you're at some point you can't, you're blind, you're feeling chest pains, you're missing baseball. What ultimately then was the solution, are you still working through some of this stuff?
I'm still working through it, but like, medical staff has gotten me into a position where I can compete and feel good and feel confident in it. It was mainly a thyroid issue, and so my thyroid was essentially failing. And so I'm on medication for that. And, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those ongoing things where I feel good right now, and I've felt good this season. And it's weird. It's weird to put it, like, I don't normally talk about it too much.
Yeah, no, and so yeah, if you're not comfortable talking of it, feel free not to. But how at some point, either in the hospital or your apartment or what have you, I mean, how scary was that at times?
The first time it was really scary because I had no idea what was going on, and then like I was having consistent 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night because I was waking up with chest pains. You know, it was just a weird time where it was like consistent, and I've been on this schedule of very little sleep. But I still have energy, and I still feel good during the day, and so it's just weird. Like, there's no other way of putting it. But like, I feel like I can compete. I feel good when I work out, I feel good when I'm running around. It's just certain times it just acts up.
Yeah, and you've pitched, right?
Yeah, I've pitched.
And how does the arm feel when
arm
you're out there?
Good,
when you're out on the mound, you just forget about it and play ball, or does it impact your mindset too?
No, usually you just have so much adrenaline. You're finally getting to compete, and you know, arm feels great, and you know, I don't think about it during that time. I'm just happy to be playing baseball.
What did you have? Was there any surgery needed, or is it mostly been controlled now by medication?
Well, it's been being controlled by medication. There was talk about a surgery that essentially they'd go through my leg and then seal up the hole in my heart. And that itself is complicated too, because from what the doctors said in Wisconsin, because it happened, like the majority of it happened in Wisconsin, so we've been bouncing back and forth. Mm-hmm. So the one staff was like, yeah, we don't treat this until you have a stroke. And then in my mind, that's backwards.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, we've been comfortable with medication, and the Minnesota staff has been helping out a lot. And so we've got it under control with medication. And so it's always better to avoid surgery. Like, that should be a last option. So it's been nice that the medication's been helping.
The medication's working, and it's allowing you to play. Otherwise, you feel generally healthy. Is the chest pain, is the medication helping with the chest pain too?
Yeah. You know, it's doing its job. Yeah. I don't know. I'm happy. I'm content with just about everything. So.
Good. Well, that's good, because that sounds like it's a otherwise healthy young college athlete. I would think that got to be a little scary. How much did you count on people too, family and friends? As you mentioned, you've got a good support staff here, obviously, with everyone that helps you with the organization, to have them with you or around you to help support.
Yeah, I mean, I got a fantastic family. I've got fantastic friends. Minnesota Athletics overall, like, I couldn't have been in a better environmental situation to go through whatever than here. And so, I mean, I've been blessed. And I don't look at it as, oh, why me? Like, this is happening, blah, blah, blah. Like, that hasn't been my mindset at all. I've been in a good situation.
Do you have 1 year of eligibility or two?
I have 1 year left.
1 year left.
Yeah.
Plan is to be back?
The plan is to be back.
And your arm, what are you, when you're feeling it, what is your repertoire look like? Fastball?
Fastball, slider, curveball, changeup. I mean, you know, baseball, some days you got it, some days you don't.
Right.
So, I'm probably heavy slider.
Heavy sliders.
Yeah.
Is that your out pitch, so to speak?
Yeah.
When you're looking for the strikeout. What's your radar? Where are you hitting the radar?
Back in the day, something else, but you know, now probably sitting 88, 90.
Yeah. You can win games with that, though.
Oh, yeah. Spin wins.
For sure. Yeah. As you go through the season, what's it like competing, against obviously other good players? I mean, the Big Ten has had another pretty good baseball season. What do you see when you go against high caliber players?
You know, it's fun. We have been. I feel like the Big Ten in general is just a big slugfest against everyone. Like, every weekend you have a shot of winning a series, and it's fun playing the teams that are in the high rankings, because we match up with them. When we're playing our consistent baseball, we're right in there with them. It's just a matter of being able to repeat that.
You guys have a fairly young roster. You're one of the older guys on the roster. The record ended probably not where you guys had hoped. And really, maybe the last 2 years record-wise hasn't been where you want. But have you, in your time here, been able to see some progress? It looked to me like at the end of this year that this team was playing pretty darn good baseball, that there's some light at the end of the tunnel with some of these young guys. There's been some good pitching. There's been some timely hitting at times. What's your take on kind of where this program sits now and where it can head next year?
Yeah, it's always an interesting question from, like, outside views and inside views,
right,
and all that. I would say the difference between this year and last year is leaps and bounds. This program's heading in a great direction. We got a great group of young guys that want to be here 24/7 and get after it. Our coaching staff is providing everything you need. I have endless amounts of praise for them. And I think people are going to be very, very surprised on what's on the horizon. And I'm confident in saying that. I have a lot of trust in these guys, and I know they want to be here. And that's a huge thing.
You look at the head coach of the Golden Gophers, John Anderson. No one's won more games. No one's won more Big Ten titles. I'm sure he's not used to the record the way it's been. How has he been through this to be patient, I suppose, with a young group, knowing that there is future here, that these guys are going to become pretty good Big Ten baseball players?
Yeah, so obviously I've been around a lot of coaches and seen a lot of things. He is by far the most impressive head coach, even individual, I've met. He's a leader through and through, and his perspective of the game, you can't rematch. Like, you got 42 seasons under your belt. You've seen it all, yeah, essentially. And his patience with it, and it's not even a patience thing. He's holding us to standards, and he's expecting us to get there. But in the way he goes about it, everyone wants to play for him. And, like, I don't know. There's not really words that you can put that describe how well of a coach he is.
Yeah, he is. He's just so smart, too, right? I mean, yeah, he just has a perspective, not just baseball, but life. If you have a conversation with him, I don't think I've had a conversation with John Anderson, even if it's a short one at times in a hallway or whatever, where I haven't left the conversation like, well, I feel better about or I've learned something, or it's a new offering of information or what have you. He's got a pretty incredible knack at that.
Yeah, it's an endless amount of wisdom. I've had endless amount of conversations, and every time I'm like, he still delivers on some point that it's like, wow, all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Did you see some frustration, or do you see with him, again, because he's used to, you know, having a high level successor, did you see with him that that he understands that this is just part of a process here of where this thing's getting back to where, you know, everyone would like it?
Our biggest thing is, you know, don't get so result oriented in the future, because you can't do anything in the future if you can't take care of business right now. And that's these last few weeks, everything is like pitch by pitch, like, let the results be the results, but you're not going to get better if you're already looking all the way down the road.
Sure.
And so, like, staying in the moment is huge with him. And with everything, like, we all want to win, so there's frustrations. But, again, like, we are held to standards. Guys have been delivering on standards. We're nowhere near where we're going to be, and I'm confident in that. And
all right, I'm going to put you on a little bit of a spot here. So, Gopher baseball fans, who are some of these young guys that next year and the year after that, if you can pinpoint some teammates that we should be keeping an eye on? I mean, and certainly there are names out there. So I know I'm putting you on the spot. And if you forget somebody, you'll have to tell them you're sorry. But who are some names that not saying that no one's heard of them, guys that are even playing now that you see a higher ceiling for some of those youngsters?
You can go just about to any spot. I mean, if we're talking really young, Weber Niels, who's been bouncing around at first base and catcher, he's going to have a predominant role. Brady Council, who's been a staple at second base, I mean, he's going to be in his third year of playing Big Ten ball. That's going to be very helpful with that experience. You got Jake Perry at third. And that kid has such a high ceiling, and he works hard. And I think after the summer, he's going to probably put on some weight, some good weight. And he's going to be exciting to watch. And then, oh, man, you can go through it all. You got Hokeson and Wright, freshman. That kid has got a high ceiling as well. And then on the pitching staff, I mean, Noah Rooney, I mean, he just had his situation happen. But I believe he's going to bounce back just the way that he goes about his business. Caden Capomaccio, you got all these young guys that really are going to compete. And, like, I don't know. Experience and the amount of time that they've been getting playing is going to be leaps and bounds.
For you as one of the older guys, how important has it been to lead in a way to help those young guys along too, just to kind of show them the ropes of what it means to be a high-level ball player?
It's it's interesting because I'm not going to be the guy that's in your face, like that kind of leader. I'll be silent. I'll go about my work. I'll tell guys when expectations are not being met. But at the same time, I understand. I've seen so many different players go through college, and I can usually tell when someone's kind of getting off track, even without them saying something. And so being around guys and being around the locker room and understanding personalities, I've gotten to the point where I feel comfortable being able to support them in the way that they need to, because it's different for each guy.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's a unique situation.
So what are your plans for the summer now?
Yeah. So for this summer, I'll be working out here all the time. Last summer, I lost a whole summer of training and playing. And so I'm trying to get back up to like 195 pounds, currently sitting at 172. So it's 20 pound difference.
I'll give you some of mine. Can I just somehow figure out, I'd like to drop about, 25 or 30. We just transform it somehow magically. But so you'll work out.
Yeah, work out. We actually have a lot of guys staying here. And so it'll be essentially us working out and playing catch and getting our training done. And then, honestly, we could get live ABs because we'll have hitters here, and it'll be super nice.
Yeah. Well, good luck with everything. I'm glad that, one, congratulations on overcoming all that you've overcome. Congratulations on Next of Can. It's amazing. Nextofcan.org. We'll give that one more time for people that want to help or know people that need help. And we'll see you around campus. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
All right. It's Randon Dauman on the Go Gopher Podcast, episode 72.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from one of the most impressive athletes on the U of M campus right now, Gopher baseball player Randon Dauman. The Go Gopher Podcast, episode 72, is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com. We're also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a locally member-owned full-service financial invested in you. You can learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. They have a top-ranked mobile app to check out as well. We're also sponsored by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts, and please be sure to subscribe to the Go Gopher Podcast right now. It's free to subscribe and free to listen. And please share the link to the podcast with others so they can subscribe and listen as well. We'll talk again next week. We'll